a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. Boy, we are going to cover some truth and expose the situation which is grandly developing. It's going to be most interesting to see how all of this plays out. We know who the players are. Well, we can take a pretty good educated guess on who the players are based on biblical history and biblical prophecy. We're going to get into that, but we're going to start off with something I said last week. Last Thursday night, I said, we have the Jewish holiday of Purim coming up, and it's under a blood moon. It starts on a full lunar eclipse, a blood moon. You have a Hebrew holiday coming up under a blood moon. Expect something to happen. And so what actually happened? Well, Saturday, we were getting reports that the current leadership in Iran being Persia, which is run by the Prince of Persia, as we discussed in the book of Daniel. And look, the Prince of Greece is coming. We just went off planet. Think about that. But we've got the Prince of Persia that is controlling what is going on there. And it's under satanic authority in what has been happening with Iran and what they've been perpetrating. Most people don't have a clue. It's like, oh, you know, Iran never bothered us in the past. Well, once upon a time, Iran and the United States were fantastic friends. A lot of respect between those two countries. And it got overthrown, as we know, by history. But it became an extreme Islamic zealot religion practicing Sharia law. And hey, infidel, get ready to die. You either submit to Sharia law or you're considered an infidel, and they kill all infidels. And if the people in this country who support Islam took a close look at Sharia law, there'd be a lot of people with emotional problems jumping off high buildings if they knew the truth, because it's all been controlled and they've been duped. And so by getting into the truth of the matter and what's actually going on here and looking at a little bit of the history, we got something marked by a blood moon. Did you not think something was going to happen? And so the war with Iran starts. And you look at the players, and a lot of people say, oh, well, the United States is doing Israel's bidding. And Donald Trump said, well, maybe Israel is doing the United States' bidding. And when you look at it from the players within Revelation, that would actually be more accurate to an extent, because I am virtually positive that the king of the pit of the abyss, Apollyon, in Hebrew, Abaddon, is supporting what is going on with the Trump administration. And you look at the biblical prophecies, and I'm going to say, okay, you want to talk about people being possessed. Is Trump in the carrying out the will of the king of the pit of the abyss, the eighth king, which springs from the seven? And you go, that's Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and 17, I've repeated it several times. God puts it into their hearts to carry out his will. Trump, I'm on a mission from God. And so here we start with Purim, the holiday of Purim, which is even extra special today because the kingdom that wants to destroy Israel and America, death to America, death to Israel, you know, it's like, ah, geez, you want it? That's religious extremist. That's religious extremist. And it's they believe that if they can bring World War III, that that it will introduce their Messiah, Ahmadi, and they will control the planet. It fulfills the Islamic prophecies. But there's another side of the coin to this. But let's take, before we get to that, let's take a look at the history. It was the Amalekites, back when Israel came out of Egypt, it was the Amalekites who attacked Israel, the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes that were leaving their past and looking to a new future, just being liberated by the God that they came to know as Yahuwah, Yahweh, Jehovah. They were in the wilderness now because they didn't follow what he said and go to the promised land. They just got you, broke you loose from the first world power of that ever was existed. The very first recognized world power by scholars today, and not just biblical scholars. But they wouldn't, they ran because they disobeyed and they didn't follow what they were told. They got to spend 40 years in the wilderness, during which time the Amalekites attack them. But that's not the last, that was the first attack, but it's not the last attack. There's another attack which comes under King Saul's reign, where they were defeated again for the second time. And King Saul was supposed to execute the king of the Amalekites, and he didn't. The prophet Isaiah did. Anyway, but where Purim comes from is the book of Esther. And here Judea has been was first captured by Babylon, which was captured by the Medes and Persians, and Esther becomes the wife of the Persian king. Now, there's one of the lower rulers, like a governor or vice president, however you want to look at it, a man by the name of Haman, was an Amalekite. He was an Amalekite descendant, and he had set up this scheme to kill all the Jews, and he had the king's approval and blessing. Well, that meant that the queen would have been killed under the king's rule. And so Esther approached the king. You got to read the book of Esther. It's not that long. It's a really interesting read. She's warned by her uncle, and she goes and tells the king, and the king issues another decree in Judea's favor, in Israel's favor, where they are allowed to defend themselves, and the very thing that was intended to them came to the remnant of the Amalekites. Haman got hung up on, impaled on the pole, which he intended to put Mordecai on. And so because of the reversal, the enemy of Israel being destroyed with the king's blessing, basically, because of the new law that he put into place. So you have two factions ruling under one principality, one faction trying to wipe out another one. That takes us back to who we're actually fighting. It's not actually a fight of blood and flesh, but against the governments and wicked forces controlling them. And so the nation of Israel is preserved back under the king's rule, and they go on to reoccupy, or a lot of them go to reoccupy what was the Holy Land or Judea. So fast forwarded to where we are now, you have this reversal of this government that is run, it's a theocracy run by full religious fanatics that are bound and determined, whether by proxy or other means, direct means, to destroy Israel. And they feel if they do this, that their Messiah will come. Okay, flip the script on this one. Riscala, we're going to play that clip in a couple of minutes, but there's the setup for it. There's the setup for what's going on. And we have this modern day reversal by one death cult wanting to bring on their version of Armageddon to bring back their Messiah, or the Messiah, the Messiah being the Christ, Jesus. Alrighty then. Well, and Riscala, I want to thank you, first of all, for sending me this clip, because it was really a great setup for tonight's show. It's certainly, go ahead, your opinion of this, just a little input.
It's a little spooky. It's a little spooky, right?
Yeah, it's spooky, but boy, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it right to the point where it may lead to Charlie Kirk and who is controlling this system of evil that we find ourselves subject to, and where we are in the real fight. Don't be distracted by the things around you. This is going to be a pretty hefty speed bump that I think very few people got to see. You know, we'll cover that in a minute, but what did you think after you watched this video clip?
Well, let me start off by saying I don't really agree with the Turk guy, the Young Turks or whatever. But there is, you know, I'm a person that when I see something that what am I trying to say? I can tell in my heart says, yeah, that's, I go, when they say something I can agree with that I know in my heart, I feel that that's the truth. I don't necessarily say, oh, well, I can't, you know, I don't want to listen to this person. I don't want to watch anything because I don't like some of the things that they do stand for. So having said that, I'm telling you, it really freaked me out. That's why I sent it to you. What they're saying in the video is they're reporting what's going on. It's like listening to some of your prior shows that we've done and before, even long before, way back. I'm telling you, it freaked me. That's why I sent it to you. It freaked me out.
You heard that before, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
And now seeing it, I see. So here's my thing. There's a lot of stuff that you bring up that I didn't see it until you bring it up. Even though I may have read it several times, I'm particularly talking about the Bible. Even though I may have read it several times, I don't see the message that you see. And then when you bring it up, I go, holy smokes. There's right in my right in front of me. When see it. So that's, I mean, that's why I'm so appreciative of people like you who want to educate, you know, we want people to know the most powerful weapon we can have is knowledge. It foregoes everything. You know, and somebody said to me, well, no, I got a gun that's more powerful. Yeah, if you don't have the knowledge how to use that gun, what value is a gun? You know, does it make sense? If you don't have, you have the most powerful physical weapon in your hand, whatever that might be. But if you don't have the knowledge on how to use it, what value is it? It's like getting into a car and not knowing how to drive. What value is it? So you have to have the knowledge. Knowledge is the root. For me, in my opinion, knowledge is the root, is the most powerful weapon that we can have. Because once you open your eyes and you have, as it says in the Bible, when you have, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, something along, I'm paraphrasing, but something along that line, it really does change the view of your life. And again, this video clip flipped me out. It really did.
Yeah, and it's something that I've said before, and I'm going to hold my commentary because it, until after the clip, and we're only going to play part of this. And Rascal, maybe you put that link below. You know, when we put this.
Yeah,
on.
I can listen to it later. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's key here. It's key. I'm going to make a connection that's going to blow everybody's mind. Okay. Go ahead and play the clip.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to go to.
And we're going to take this to about the 7 minute and 20 mark because we don't, you know, they're going to make a commentary on it afterward and get different input. But yeah. This is the bulk of it. Yeah, it's about a 20 minute clip. And to play the whole thing tonight would just be. Yeah. Go ahead, do your thing.
Do.
Israeli Zionists were bad enough in starting wars for all the wrong reasons. Here comes the Christian Zionists.
Here we go.
Joy. Wait till you hear what the commander said about why we're in this war and what to do. Tell us about it, yes.
All right, so let's give you the high points. This is from Jonathan Larson's report. He says, a combat unit commander told non-commissioned officers at a briefing Monday that the Iran war is part of God's plan and that President Donald Trump was anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth. And that is according to a non-commissioned officer. So we'll talk more about whatever that even means later. But between Saturday and Monday, more than 110 complaints had been logged by the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, or the MRFF, regarding the rhetoric about commanders in every branch of military. The complaints were widespread across more than 40 different units across roughly 30 military installations. And according to one report, the non-commissioned officer wrote to the MRFF that their commander urged us to tell our troops that this was all part of God's divine plan. And he specifically referenced numerous citations out of the book of Revelation, referring to Armageddon and the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And it is very understandable that all of this is coming directly from the top, because Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has enshrined evangelical Christianity at the uppermost levels of the U.S. military, airing monthly prayer meetings throughout the Pentagon. Last year, the Pentagon confirmed to Larson that Hegseth attends a weekly White House Bible study, and it's led by a preacher who says that God commands America to support Israel. And these are the people, again, who are running our country and running our military, and these are the things that they believe. So Larson spoke with MRFF president and founder Mikey Weinstein about the report, and this is what Weinstein had to say. He said, these calls have one damn thing in freaking common. Our MRFF clients, service members who seek MRFF aid, report the unrestricted euphoria of their commanders and command chains as to how this new biblically sanctioned war is clearly the undeniable sign of the expeditious approach of the fundamentalist Christian end times as vividly described in the New Testament Book of Revelation. Many of their commanders are especially delighted with how graphic this battle will be, zeroing in on how bloody all of this must become in order to fulfill and be in 100% accordance with fundamentalist Christian end of word eschatology. And that is, you know, the end of worldness. That is terrifying that they seem to be giddy about everything that's happening now. It seems as though they're finally able to usher in this end of world and so they can be raptured and go up to heaven. And of course, all of this violates the Constitution, which they don't seem worried about because the Constitution is very worldly and earthbound. And it also violates the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Weinstein had some choice words for the military members speaking this way to their subordinates, saying that they will be swiftly, aggressively, and visibly prosecuted. However, this is not the first time that talk like this was within our military in some capacity. Weinstein says that this kind of end of the world thinking creeps up any time that Israel comes up. So after October 7th, 2023,
we lost something there. Roscoe, we lost the sound on that. Or it froze up, one or the other. Oh, there it goes. Yeah. No, we lost the sound on that. Giddy. I love the fact that she's talking about these commanders that are giddy about this whole situation. But where did it start? Riscolo, we still all together here? There we go. That's changing. I see your little mouse moving around. Good. We're doing something here.
I was just on mute. You want me to continue with it, or you want me to cut it out?
Yeah. No, go ahead and continue if you can. Just back it up just a smidge, because this is still important, and I want it to become obviously clear.
Let me back it up. I don't know if it'll let me back it up. Let's
okay.
Let me,
go ahead and just play it.
Yeah.
Sorry for the technical difficulty, folks, but it's StreamYard.
It's a little weird because some of them that
anyway is kind of like OG Zionists. Many, including many in our government, believe that Israel must exist in order for Jesus to return. However, Pete Hegseth's Bible study leader, preacher Ralph Drollinger, teaches that the reason to support Israel is that God still blesses Israel's allies and curses Israel's enemies, even though Israel killed Jesus. And of course, this is rooted in historic anti-Semitism. So,
how crazy is that, Peter? And of course, the first thing you notice, the thing they pull out, anti-Semites, anti-Semitism, racism.
Yeah. Yep. And
having a Bible study for your. Okay, so I'm not so much in objection to having a Bible study for the military. But to have a Bible study that instructs the military that we're going to take this land because it belongs to someone else and we're helping. Oh, my God. This is crazy. And I can't help but be concerned that this is the beginning of World War III. We're watching World War III evolve right before our eyes. Peter, did you know that Iran has hypersonic missiles?
Yes, I had heard that.
Yeah, they have hypersonic missiles. They don't know how many they have. They destroyed three or four of our most best equipped bases in other countries to the tune of trillions of dollars when you combine them all together.
That's okay. Don't get overly concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Don't get overly concerned. Okay. It's let's call it growing pains. Okay.
That's true.
Let's call it growing pains.
It is pain. I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
You want me to keep playing it?
Yeah, go ahead and let it go out, and then we'll start to take this apart.
Okay.
If you needed more proof that our government was being run by evangelical Zionists, I do have a quick clip to show you. This is Republican Representative Tim Burchett.
Sound issue. This was a good a clip of a clip. Okay, Ruscullo, it's don't worry about it. Let's just get into this. Just check the link down below and go and look at that, because she made it pretty clear. You have a Christian Zionist movement within the military who's giddy about what? Bringing on a war that'll bring back Jesus. Wait a minute. Whoa. To have a war, a World War III, to create an Armageddon scenario, to invoke Jesus to come back as Messiah. And they're saying, oh, well, it's written that way in Revelation. No. It's not written that way in Revelation. And where'd you ever get the idea? And Christian Zionism, and Ruscullo, this may strike a note, because I got on a rant about this at least 10 years ago on the air. Christian Zionism is the same thing as Jews for Hitler. Think about that for a minute. Jews for Hitler. But where does it all go back to? Where does it lead to? Revelation 3:9. I will bring those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. They will come before you and do obeisance at your feet, for I will show them how much I love you. Now that we just put everything in perspective, those from the synagogue of Satan, and now we're going to link it all together. Let's go right to the Zionist Christian movement, and I've said this several times, even doing Revelation, the evangelical movement of the 1800s was basically inspired by two things. First, the financial whereabouts in order to set up a bunch of offshoot new evangelical religions. Freemasonry. And there's a famous document written by Albert Pike, who's like the grandfather of Freemasonry in America. It's Morals and Dogma, written in 1871. And this is pretty much right when the evangelical movement was getting going. And in Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike admits that their God is Lucifer and that they're going to create three world wars to bring him to power. But it's not going to get sold that way. You see, to bring in Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. And so you've got the grandfather of Freemasonry. He's actually, the book is Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And they feel that World War III will bring in their Christ. Remember, many shall come on account of my name. We need an Antichrist figure. There's a difference between that and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, you know, you have a lot of double entendres here, same word, two meanings. We got to pay attention to both sides of the coin, so to speak. But here's where it starts, right at morals and dogma. And so who does it involve? It involves Freemasonry, the 33rd or the 32nd and above degree Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And then you've got the other set of Freemasons, which are just plain 33rd degree Masons. If you look at their symbology, it's a double-headed eagle. How many countries have double-headed eagles? Is that a two-faced eagle? I'm not sure. But it can be tracked back. Where does Zionism track back to? It tracks back to the synagogue of Satan. Who runs the synagogue of Satan? Well, maybe a better question is, who runs the Freemasons? President Kennedy, let's start. Eisenhower warned the people about the military-industrial complex. President Kennedy warned the people about secret handshake societies. And I talked about this too, and boy, this is dangerous ground. It was for me when I wrote it in Letters to Earth and published it, because I forgot one thing: who controls the press? The same people. And if you don't know, it's the protocol. It's not the exact name, but the protocol of the learned elders of the synagogue of Satan is basically what it could be renamed as. But within their protocol, and we're going to do a show, but not tonight, because I've been talking about doing this or thinking about doing this for 2 months, and it's just not right yet. But anyway, under what they say in Protocol 15, under secret societies, and think about what President Kennedy said about secret handshake groups, it says, point four, meantime, however, we will come into our kingdom. We shall act in the contrary way. We shall create and multiply Freemasonic lodges in all countries of the world, absorb into all of them all who may become or who are prominent in public activity. For these lodges, we shall find our principal intelligence office and means of influence. All of these lodges we shall bring under one central administration, known to us alone and to all our others absolutely unknown, which will be composed of our learned elders. The lodges will have their representatives of who will serve to screen the above-mentioned administration of Masonry, and from whom will issue the watchword and the program. In these lodges, we shall tie together the knot which binds together all revolutionary and liberal elements. Their composition will be made up of all strata of society. The most secret political plots will be known to us and fall under our guiding hands on the very day of their conception. Among the members of these lodges will be almost all agents of international and national police, since their service for us is irreplaceable. In respect, that police is in a position not only to use its own particular measures with the insubordinate, but also to screen our activities and provide pretext for disconnects, et cetera. All members of these lodges, almost all the agents of international and national police, look for the Masonic symbols. Look at the badge of New Orleans, Louisiana. And look for the Masonic symbols, usually the compass and square. But they are all there. And they're under the control of the lodges, the secret handshake groups. It's the influence is there. Now, the protocol, and there's another paragraph, but the protocol was written at the first Congress of Zion in 1899. Think about that. 127 years ago. 127 years ago. That Congress was actually supposed to be held in Munich, Germany, when the local population of Jews in Munich found out that one of the plans was to repatriate all the Jews back to Palestine. There was such an outrage among the community, among the Jewish community that were residents of Munich and whose families had been there for hundreds of years. Now you're going to pick us up and what about our businesses? You're just going to dump us in the desert? Yeah, but they were outraged. And so they moved the Congress to Basel, Switzerland, I believe is where it was. But anyway, I wrote about that too. But this is how they are controlling what is going on. Protocol 15.5. The class of people who most willingly enter into secret societies are those who live by their wits, their careerists, and in general, people most light-minded, with whom we shall have no difficulty in dealing, in using to wind up the mechanism of the machine divested by us. If this world grows agitated, the meaning of that will be that we have had to stir it up in order to break it up is too great solidarity. But if there should be arise in the midst of a plot, and at the head of that plot will be no other than one of our most trusted servants, it is natural that we and no other should lead Masonic activities, for we know whether we are leading them. We know the final goal of every form of activity, whereas the Goyim have knowledge of nothing, not even of the immediate effect of action that they put before themselves, unusually the momentary reckoning of satisfaction of their self-opinion in the accomplishment of their thought without even remarking that they the very conception never belonged to their initiative but to our instigation of their thought. Protocol number 6 starts off with Gentiles are stupid. The Goyims enter lodges out of curiosity. Oh, what's that lodge all about? What do those symbols mean? Oh, I had a friend, geez, 40 years ago, almost 35 years ago, had joined the Masonic Lodge. And I was like, well, what's it about? And he was like, oh, it's like a business partnership. You know, and you it's a big networking operation. That's the way that he saw it as, because he was a newbie. I was curious mildly, but yeah, no way I wanted to be in. It's like any club that would have me, I wouldn't bother being in. But, it seems all innocent. And it seems like a brotherhood, a fraternity, an equality. All this was planted. And they wanted to do this 200 years ago. after the Napoleonic Wars. I believe it was the first Congress of Vienna when they had to redraw the property lines basically between countries. It was the Rothschilds that wanted to form essentially a European Union. And the king, the Tsar of Russia, Tsar Alexander, said, "I ain't joining your club. Give me my money and let me go home." And Amschelmeyer Rothschild was so incensed, he said, "My descendants shall see your descendants wiped off the face of the earth." And 100 years later, it happened with the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And Tsar Nicholas and his family totally murdered by a communist regime, which was set up by the learned elders of Zion. Zionist Christians, get in line. Get in line. How come we have, Riscoli, here's a question for you. How come, what is it, 40%, 30%, something like, I think it's closer to 40% of Congress people have dual citizenships that go between the United States and Israel?
Peter, you know, I read, maybe you can verify this for me. I read that if you become a citizen of Israel, that Israel demands of you, in an agreement that you're going to be a citizen of Israel, that you have 100% loyalty to Israel. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. I don't think it should be allowed that if you're going to be in our government, working in our government, you are an American citizen, 100%, nothing else.
I agree. I agree, because you can't serve two masters. You know, but who runs Israel? Israel is known as the house that Rothschild built. Yes. Lord Rothschild, back in 1917, propositioned Lord Balfour to make Palestine the future homeland of the Jews. Why do you think they started that war? They accomplished two things: that they overthrew the Tsar of Russia, and they secured homeland for the Jews, both in the same year.
Peter, what year was it? 1917.
1917.
That was the Balfour Agreement, right?
Yes, it was.
That's what the plan was for Israel, but Israel wasn't actually formed. There were 48, I think it was, right? 1948?
48, in 1947, the United Nations declared Israel a state. In 1948, they made it official.
Yeah. So.
Or Palestine.
They knew this was coming.
The home of Israel.
They knew this was coming even before the war started. Go ahead.
That's it starts off back in 1899, actually probably 1898. By the time the word got out, by the time they had to move their meeting to Switzerland, this was already a plan. They had been working on this plan for 200 years, over 200 years.
Wow.
Think about this. This isn't something planned that has its roots even further back. Wow. And where the roots go back to Baal worship. The sacrificing of children. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. It goes all the way back to the original Baal worship under ancient Samaria, ancient Babylon. Hence, we get Babylon the Great. In Revelation, we get Babylon the Great, which and that's where we're headed to, is the destruction of all religion. the end of all religion, because religion is the most controversial. It creates more controversy on this planet than anything else. Look at this one. This confrontation leading to a possible World War III scenario is all religiously based. Christians, Muslims, and Jews, it's finally happened. Hello, Chrislam. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
No, that's what it is. They've come right out and said that's the end game.
Yeah, I went and there's an interesting note within the United Nations, and it's listed under freedom of religion. And freedom of religion exists under the United Nations rules unless that religion is deemed to become a public hazard or public nuisance or a public detriment. And then that religion is no longer recognized. Now, interesting, you have to see how many religions are non-organizational members of the United Nations, non-governmental organizations, NGOs that belong to the United Nations. I bet you find a lot of religions, because that's the seat of that's up until Trump, that has been the seat of the throne of Satan, literally. Fulfillment of Revelation 13. The wild beast which rules the world, that ascends out of the sea. Guess what? When it ascended out of the sea, it was a Rothschild creation. It came out as the League of Nations. Woodrow Wilson, who's the worst president in the United States history, up until Obama, probably, he sold America out. He was being blackmailed, and he sold America out to the Zionists. $20 million? Was it that much? I don't think it was that much. But yeah, he was being blackmailed, and a Zionist law firm got in the middle of it and said, yeah, you know, he had slept with, when he was a professor at Princeton University, he had slept with a colleague's wife and got her pregnant, and she claimed the baby was his. And now that he was president, then she wanted hush money. And I think it was $2 million she wanted, not 20, but two. 1917. And so the attorneys said, we'll take care of the hush money, but you have to do us a favor. And he said, okay, what is it? He said, we get to pick, they wanted to pick the next Supreme Court justice, William Beatties. He was the president of the American Society of, ready? Zionism. Yeah. And so here we are at the synagogue of Satan, all you Christians. Who else would want blood pouring out upon this planet? Think about it. And this is the last hurrah, because if they don't pull this off, they must submit to the Eighth King. Hello, Bureau of Peace, who wants to sign up? Wait a minute, Bureau of Peace, we're ready for World War III? Yeah, that's right. This is the end of the cabal.
Ironic.
That the storm is upon us, but not quite yet. It's going to get escalated. Like you said, they have hypersonic missiles. And right now, the United States is putting the squeeze on China, putting the squeeze on Cuba. China's having its own internal affair problems, and they just came out and said, we're not exporting diesel and gasoline anymore. China would get the oil running through their refineries, and out it went. But nobody's talking about Russian oil going to China. Wonder why. So whatever. Whatever. Yeah, China was supplying Iran. Iran became a proxy of China. So China was manufacturing all sorts of weaponry for Iran.
That's correct.
And hypersonic missiles. And Russia wasn't helping the matters, that wasn't really helping matters out any, because they were basically a protectorate of Iran as well. But who, and this is something I've said on previous shows, who was responsible for the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, and whose idea was it to put in a religious cleric who was an extremist?
CIA.
The Ayatollah Khomeini. CIA, part of it. But who financed the operation? Nobody works for free. Got to do have a money trail. Where was Khomeini? He was a refuge. What country? Paris. France. He was in France. And so could it have been the French Rothschilds that had Khomeini installed? Because the British Rothschilds had essentially put Palestine, put Israel into Palestine. And so now we can have major conflict by having an extremist who hates Jews. You see how they play the chess game? That was 40 years ago. They're experts at the long game. This has been going on literally for at least 2,000 years, but most likely closer to 4,000 years. Over 4,000 years. You know, you want to talk about human sacrifice? Look at the South American cults. Major religions. Was it the Mayan sacrificed 24,000 people? 24,000 people. That's crazy. Talk about bloodthirsty. Yeah. Death cults. Death cults. And we're going to see death cults come to an end. Here's a little interesting side note. We made the connection with the Eighth King back to the King of the Pit of the Abyss. And who was in the Abyss? The Watchers. The sons of the true God, who saw that Earth women were hot.
You're breaking up, Peter.
And came down on what was the...
You're breaking up, Peter.
The purpose, procreation, dealt with. Always the procreate. How's that? It's me.
Nope.
Oh, geez. You are.
You're in and out. You're in and out.
I'm in and out.
Right now, you're in.
You know,
now you're out.
Hey, I'm in. StreamYard just does not like it. And we're going to remedy this. Hello, Starlink is coming. But StreamYard, and that's the only way I could get out from where I am. So, you know, that's what happens when you choose to live off-grid. And it's wintertime, and you got snow falling and chemtrailing and everything else, and it's not a clear shot to the tower. So we got to go over the tower's head here. And so this is going to be a temporary situation. hopefully within the next month or so with Starlink will get us out a lot better. Right now it's a little bit snowy. Anyway, back on subject, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, the Eighth King. When the Watchers came to Earth and took wives for themselves, they came to procreate. They came to create life on Earth. So having a death cult goes totally against their grain. And when we look at what is written in Revelation 17:17 and 3:9, we're going to see the end of these death cults. We're going to see a better day when the nations declare peace. You know, you've heard tons of shows on prepping. If you want to go, I would recommend go watch one. If I've changed my lifestyle, it's, I wouldn't say the ultimate prepper's lifestyle, but I control the lights here. But guess what? When there's no more fuel, I'm going to have to figure out another way to control the lights. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. Keep your gas tank full, because it's only going to go up. I would expect very high gas prices until they can get this all settled out, which is absolutely ridiculous. But whatever. It is what it is. It's world drama. And we can get sucked into it just like a whirlpool. You know, it's, water is a very powerful thing. I wound up in a very interesting place. In less than a minute and a half, I wound up at 200 feet underwater. And I had no clue until I realized I just sucked down 1,500 pounds of air. Things can change real quick. And we may not see them coming. But be on alert. Be prepared. And if we do get into that undertow, we'll at least have a backup plan. We'll have a way to get out of this. Or at least hold on. For the time being, we're going to enter that time of peace and security. But not under the system of evil being world worthing the Messiah. By ultimate sacrifice, they will bring their Messiah, Lucifer. By the ultimate sacrifice of human life. Think about that. Think about that. The ultimate bloodletting. As it's written, the nations shall know I am Jehovah. So when the real Armageddon comes, it will be way out of the hands of any human or any extraterrestrial that is controlling this planet now. But the current extraterrestrials that have set up this synagogue of Satan are going to have to come under the submission of the Eighth King. And the Eighth King will destroy all the edifices, mainly religion. Riscola, if you took religion away from the world, what would happen?
Probably a lot more peace.
Yeah. Oh, gee, we couldn't have that happen now, because then we couldn't control the wars, could we?
Couldn't make all that money off of the bloodshedding either.
Yep. And so is this a way to draw people out to see where they really are? Are they part of this death cult, and then you deal with them? See what's in their closet? think about this. I said it leads to Charlie Kirk real quick before we're just about at the end of our hour. But the same forces that were at play creating the evangelical movement were, I'm almost positive, the same forces at play with Turning Point. And Charlie didn't want to play anymore. So one way or another, he was dealt with and he became a martyr. Hope he's enjoying himself on a beach somewhere. There's a lot more behind that. He didn't want Turning Point to be turned into a Christian Zionist organization. I guess they had other plans for Turning Point. So with that, I'm going to wrap up tonight's show. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this was enlightening. Don't become panicked. Become closer to our Creator. It's a spiritual movement that's happening now. And that's the best way to look at it, is being part of a spiritual enlightening movement. Better days are coming. A lot better days are coming. We got to get over a couple of humps first. But with that, I'm going to say, hey, listen to all the other shows. We've got a great lineup. A lot of truth being spoken of out there. Be sure that you join us and hit the like button and subscribe. And with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic week.